introduction, Jeannie. Thank you. Hi, my name's Nicole, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. As Jeannie said, we met here 2 years ago. On Friday the 22nd, I had 2 years sober. So I like to come back and come talk. So, and Chris kindly lets me do it. I was born August 12th, 1974 in Springfield, Illinois. Grew up in a normal family, you know, well, normal. Had, you know, mom, dad, sister, dog, all that stuff, you know. Nothing really traumatizing, like, ever happened to me. Like, I didn't have, like, a bad childhood or a rough childhood. When I was 15, I took my first drink. I can remember it really well. And I was reading in my the big book today, and I read something in there that has never stuck out to me before, but it did today. And it said in there that, you know, it's only an alcoholic that can remember that first drink. Like, it's like a milestone. Like, you remember. Like, I can tell you probably even what I was wearing. But I definitely know what I was drinking, where I was at, who I was with, who I called on the phone. Boy, that's drunk dial at the most embarrassing time when you're 15. But, and I remember how I felt. Like, I just remember, like, that feeling was like, I'm unstoppable. I'm powerless. You know, I'm great. Like, I'm so powerful. So I guess, like, the weekly, which means more than once a week, drinking started from 15 on. And yeah, I drank a lot. I mean, like, we used to hide it in the cars at school. We'd bring it into class with us. I mean, teachers knew, and they didn't care. I mean, it was like, you guys aren't troublemakers, so whatever. I mean, go get drunk. I mean, like, it didn't matter, you know? And, but it did matter, and it mattered a lot come, you know, longer in my life. But, anyway, so yeah, so I had a pretty normal life, and then, I went to college, and college is kind of where everything's really started to get out of control and go downhill. So in college, I went away, and I was away from my family for the first time, like, for an extended period, you know, like, away, a distance. And it was not good. I mean, I made bad choices, way bad choices. And I remember, my mom, like, pulling out, and she's like, don't get a tattoo, don't get drunk, you know, be good. First weekend, I went to college in Oklahoma. First weekend we're there, we're driving down to Wichita Falls, Texas to get tattoos. Like, we're like, woo, party on. You know, it was exciting. So, but yeah, and so college is kind of a blur. I fell in love for the very first time there. And the gentleman, you know, I thought he was going to be like my forever. And so I went home, and I was ready to tell my parents all about him and everything. And then when I got back to college from Christmas break, he had gone off and married someone else. So that was kind of a problem. So guess love was a one-way street on that one. So anyway, yeah. So at that point, I think that is, like, really where I can pinpoint when the drinking just became just so out of control. I mean, like, it's, like, embarrassing, the things that I did. Like, I slept with his brothers. I slept with his cousins. Because I was hurting. So I was going to hurt him back. I mean, like, you know, I was like, I didn't care. Be a whore. It worked out well. So anyway, yes. So that all happened. And then my parents started noticing, you know, maybe something's not right here. Something's a little off. Just a little off. We don't know what's wrong with her. She's like this good, like, Baptist girl with the long hair that never cuts it. She comes home in coochie shorts and, like, oh my goodness. Just a whore. Anyway, so my parents told me that I could either continue to go to college and get good grades, or even get a grade, or I could come home. And me being the person that I was like, oh, I'm going to go home. I'm going to show you guys what, you know, what's up, how it all works. And this is the world, and I'm going to have 4 jobs, and I don't need college. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, when you don't need college, when you're a whore, I mean, it just works out like that. But anyway, so I moved back home with my family, kind of ran with, like, the wrong crowd of people, most definitely, continually drinking the whole entire time. And I don't know exactly how I was so lucky or so blessed to not ever have picked up any other addiction because, well, I do gamble. I did gamble. I don't know. But I mean, like that was like, I mean, like seriously, because like, I think I was always so afraid that if I did another drug that I would become an addict. And I'm like, instead, I'm just a drunk, you know? I mean, like, so it's like, but I was always terrified of that. So, and I had friends that dibbled and dabbled in just about everything, you know, but it just was never my, I don't know. It wasn't my thing. I think I was afraid of it. And I don't like needles. So anyway, so I come home getting drunk all the time again, running with completely the wrong crowd of people, thinking my shit don't stink, thinking I'm hotter than hell and life is just fantastic. And I meet a gentleman. Again, thought I was in love. He was fantastic. He was wonderful. And we go out one, well, he had been in a bad car accident, and was on painkillers. And, anyway, I remember calling him and I was just like a mess. And I remember calling him and being like, oh, I want to come over. I want to come see you and all this other stuff and saying things I shouldn't have said. Anyway, I got over to his house and I ended up being raped that night. And, that was just a really bad night. You know, I mean, like, it's just bad. And at that point, most normal people would say, perhaps it's because you drink too much. I mean, like, seriously, like, I shouldn't have put myself in that situation. I mean, he was completely in the wrong, but I shouldn't have put myself in that situation. It just shouldn't have happened. And so, but instead of me saying, perhaps it's the alcohol, I just continued to drink more and harder and, you know, more. So... you know, get on with life, whatever, didn't go back to college, kind of just hung out, was basically like a deadbeat, like I just lived at my parents' house, and then my parents moved away, so I had to find a new place to live, you know, the usual whatever. And so then my parents, where I was going to move into, burned down, so it was like I didn't have anywhere to live. My parents moved to Missouri, they were like, come check it out. I was like, okay. So I went there, checked it out, and I... state, you know, I was like, oh, this isn't bad, you know, it's not too bad or whatever. And so you know, things hadn't changed. It was all the same thing, just over and over and over again, just continually drinking. Like, the drinking just never ever stopped. I can't even like express like how much I drank. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, it was a lot. And and so I remember, like, the night I met my husband, this is embarrassing. Makes me sound like a whore again. I met my husband on a street corner in shiny pants. It's true. I had on shiny pants and a backless shirt, and I was skinny then. And yeah, anyway. And boy, I really thought I was the stuff. But I remember he like pulled up beside me, and my friend had gotten in a fight in the parking lot with her boyfriend, and like physical, it was getting physical. And I was like, I'm not going to do any of this nonsense. I'm just going to walk home. So I remember him and his friend pulled up alongside me, and they were like, hey. And I was like, oh, hi. And they were like, you want to hang out? And I'm like, you got beer? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So I just jump in the car with two random people who I don't know. Again, hooker in the outfit there looking, you know. And so I was like, as long as you have beer. So I remember we like sat up and we talked, and we sat up that whole entire night and we talked. And I told him that night, I said, I love you and someday I'm going to marry you. And he's like, okay. So the next morning I'm like, so how are you today? And he's like, I think we said some things last night that maybe we didn't mean. And I'm like, well, maybe you did, but I didn't. I was like, I know. So yeah. And then like, I remember the first time that he saw my, like, well, okay, he probably saw how drunk I was that night, too. But, I mean, like, the first time that he saw, like, the bad drunk, I remember I made him wait outside for 45 minutes while I got ready for a wedding, which meant that I was upstairs shooting just straight vodka. And I was like, well, I mean, I got to be drunk before I see you. I mean, because I love you, so I must be drunk, you know? So, and I remember he's like, this is absolutely ridiculous. He was so mad. And this was like, because I'm old. So this was like before there were cell phones, but I remember he was just like, this is absolutely asinine. He's like, you won't let me come inside the house. What are you doing in there? Oh, nothing, just curling my hair. Okay, whatever. So anyway, so that was the very first time I think that he saw me drunk. But like, so he kind of comes from a different family than what I come from. Like, my family was not a family of drinkers because my grandfather is an alcoholic. But my husband's family were Catholic. So like, we drink. That's what we do. We have a picnic. It's sponsored by Bud Light. We go to sporting events for our kids. We have beer. I mean, it's just, it's what we do. And so for my husband, it wasn't like weird seeing me get drunk all, you know, I mean, like, you know, he didn't find it odd, but I think he began to see that it was a little bit off. Like maybe I got drunk too much. So you know, we end up, well, I end up pregnant by him, of course. And we end up having a daughter and getting married. See, I was right. I know. And so then, you know, we get married and things are, you know, going pretty good. And then my mom gets sick. And I, at this point, I had kind of like cut back on the drinking somewhat. Because, I mean, I had a child, you know, and I was like, I'm going to be a good mom. Like, I'm not going to be that bad mom. And then my mom got cancer. And that just kind of like was the downward spiral for me, or I felt like it was. Boy, did I not know how down it would go. Anyway, and so my mom got sick with cancer. I remember being in her hospital room the night before she died, and I was watching Oprah. And there was this mom on there, and she was talking about she can't even take her kids to the park without having vodka in her cup. And I'm sitting there thinking, what a loser. I mean, like, what a loser. Fast forward 5 years, that's me. And I'm not even lying. Like, not even lying. That's me. And that's embarrassing. But it's how it was, you know. But I remember thinking I would never stoop to that level or, you know, whatnot. So my mom passed away. I was lucky enough to get to be there with her. I say lucky enough because I think it really, like, I don't know, I think it traumatized me or did something to me. But again, because I didn't feel anything because all I did was get drunk. Like, that, it's a reoccurring theme. Anyway, so, you know, life goes on. I have another daughter, you know, life's still going on. In between there, like, I can't really keep a job. Because I'm drunk and I get angry a lot and I yell at people a lot. I'm just like a really angry, like mad person. It's not good. It's not a good look at all. Anyway, and then my dad ends up getting cancer. So my dad was diagnosed with cancer and it came on quick and fast. And I mean, he was gone. I mean, like, you know, he didn't have very long to fight. So I think that was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't even believe this. Well, that's when the day drinking started, like, day drinking. So here was, like, my morning. So I have three kids, and I would get up, like, with them. Well, okay, scratch all this. I would go to bed at, like, 7 o'clock. Then I would wake up again at about 11. So we'd have a couple shots at 11, go back to bed. I'd sleep till 1, wake up at 1. I would drink from 1 to 4. Go back to sleep from, no, that's a lie. I drink from 1 to 5, go back to sleep from 5 to 6, leave at 6, take my kids to school. And mind you, I'm drinking vodka this whole entire time before I go to take my kids to school. Take my kids to school, drop them off, whatever, come back home, drink the whole entire day. And then, you know, and trying to hold a job, trying to be a productive, it doesn't add up. Like, it doesn't work out well at all. And so, but that's when, like, the drinking, like the day drinking and all that really started right after my dad died. And then I also started hiding my alcohol bottles. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. There you go. I see you over there. I know. I got you. I understand. But yeah. And so, I mean, like, that was one of the scariest things when I came to rehab, because I was like, oh my God, my husband's going to find all my bottles. And like, when I say all my bottles, like, I mean, Jeannie likes this story. I had to empty out a whole, well, I didn't have to, but because I didn't throw anything away, I emptied out a whole entire dresser, and like, it was just full of alcohol bottles. Like, that's all, there was no clothes in there. It was just all alcohol. And yeah, it got bad. So you know, I'm like trying to do this like daily life thing, living, whatever, just going through the motions really. And I'm dying. I mean, I'm basically dying. And I like start dropping weight. We can't figure out why, you know, nobody knows anything. I'm eating nuclear medicine. Like, I'm doing everything, like trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And, at one point a doctor says, do you drink too much? And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And he's like, well, your blood says something a little different. And I was like, stop it. You know? And I was like, you're nuts. You're crazy. And so, I went and, you know, kind of dealt with that or whatever, and they put me on this medicine, and they told me, they said, if you drink while you take this medicine, like, you can get really sick, and if you don't take this medicine, then you're going to die. Like, essentially, that's what's going to happen. You're going to die. And I was like, okay, so I stayed on the medicine for a little bit, you know, whatever, here and there. Stayed on the medicine, and then one day, a lady at work, I worked at Target. I was the self-check girl. And a lady at Target made me mad, and I remember I came home, and I, like, threw out all that medicine, and I just started drinking. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care if I live, if I die. I don't care about anything in my life anymore. Like, I don't care. I don't care. And, yeah, that was bad. And then Donald Trump became president. And as we all know, I thank Mr. Trump for my sobriety, because without him, I wouldn't have gotten so smashed the day that he was inaugurated that I couldn't even walk up the stairs, and I'm like, I can't get up the stairs, you know, and like, I was like, there might be a problem. And I was posting all over Facebook, I've been raped and all this other stuff. My sister's like, you've been raped? I'm like, yeah, sorry, I forgot to tell you. So it's on Facebook. But, you know, I mean, like, I said a lot of things that were embarrassing and terrible, but it's because I was drunk, and, like, I didn't, you know, I didn't know any different, and, well, I did know different, but anyway, I was saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, and so I remember, then that's when I got checked into the hospital, and that's when they told me basically I was dying, and then, you know, I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And then after that is when I decided myself that I would come to rehab. So I decided that I would get this under control. And everybody's like, okay, whatever. Like, it's just going to be another thing that you try out or whatever, and you're not going to ever do this. And, you know, you had the people that said that. And then I also had the people that said, are you sure that you're really an alcoholic? Like, do you even drink that much? And I'm like, I drink a lot. And so I signed up to go to this rehab in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so anyway, I get out there, and before I got there, I had asked them, I had said, Jeannie likes this story too. Before I got out there, I had asked them, I said, is this run by Scientologists? And they told me, no, I get out there, it's run by Scientologists. So I'm like, turn the car around, I want to go back to the airport. And so they flip the car around, take me back to the airport after I threatened to like call the police and have them arrested for kidnapping. So they turn the car around, take me back to the airport, and then I call a friend. And she was like, look, I went to this place in Austin. It's called Austin Recovery. It's awesome. You will love it. She's like, it's totally like just, you know, she's like, it's not like a country club. She's like, but it's nice. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So I come here. And I will say this. First off, I get here and everybody's like, she's not going to stay. Like, she's just going to leave. I didn't think I was going to stay. I was like, you guys know nothing. Anyway, so I get here. I pull up. I remember pulling up. Well, actually, what I remember is getting like in the, I got picked up at Congress and getting driven over here. And the lady in the car with me, she had just had a baby. But the baby wasn't in the car, right? Okay, but the lady kept talking like the baby was inside the car, and I'm like, where is the baby? Like, what am I missing? Like, what is wrong with me? Why do I not see or hear a baby? So I was like, okay, whatever goes on at rehab, I don't know. So anyway, you know, and I'm like, I could be like a mental patient. I don't want to get stabbed. I'm just going to shut up. I watched enough First 48. I know what happens. Anyway, so I went and came out here, and I remember they were like, oh, you owe more money than what we thought you owed in order to be able to come here. And I was like, I called my husband. I was like, this is a sign from God that I shouldn't be here. And he was like, he's like, she's staying. And I was like, oh, damn it. So anyway, I was stuck. And, so when I went through check-in, I was like, or, you know, like that little part where they screen you and do all that. And they were like, so how much do you think you drank? And I was like, well, I don't really know what it's called, but it's like that big bottle with the handle. And like, I'd go through that like once every 2 days. And they were like, oh, my goodness. And at that point, like I weighed like 108 pounds. And I looked like this little, oh, it was scary. I looked, oh, horrible. Anyway, so so I get here, start getting signed up for whatever, and I'm like, so how does this all work? You know, like, I'm just trying to figure things out. And two things I was afraid of, either getting killed or raped. Like, I was like, I don't want to get raped. Like, what happens here? Like, I've seen prison shows. I know what happens. And I thought, oh, my word, here we go. This is going to be terrible. Neither thing happened, by the way. But so I get here, and, you know, and, like, immediately I felt at home. Like, immediately. And even though I was, like, one of the older women there, it was myself, and then we had, like, two other older, like, my age people there at the same time. And it was, like, immediately, though, I just felt at home. Like, I was like, I love these people. I love everything about here. I remember sitting where you guys are sitting right now, and I remember always being like, man, whenever I get 6 months, I want to come back and come talk. And then somebody said, you can't talk at 6 months. So I was like, no names to be mentioned. So I said, I was like, okay, well, when I get a year. And so, but because to me, like, when I stood up here or sat there and heard people, like, sitting there talking, and they're like, oh, I have 25 years. I'm like, fucking awesome for you. Can I get 25 days? I mean, like, you know, like, seriously, like, I was like, how does life go on? You know, I mean, like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen at all. And so, but yeah, I mean, through the program here, I'm telling you, the blessings that come from this program, and I hope that you all take it really, I hope you guys take it seriously while you're here, because it's 30 days, and I know it sucks, you don't have your cell phone. God damn it, any of you can have my cell phone that want it? Like, you guys can have it. I'll go 30 days without a cell phone again. Like, you don't know how good it is. I don't have a bill. Like, it's just, it's time to find out who you are. It's time to, like, get reconnected with you and work on yourself and work on your sobriety and figure out why you do whatever your drug of choice is. I mean, for me, I think it was because I was just a miserable person. Like, I really, like, as I reflect back, like, I think I didn't grow up in a family with a lot of drama, so I created my own drama. And, oh, boy, I could really do that. I was so good at that. So good. I'm still pretty good at it, but I was really good at it back then. But, yeah, and I mean, so I think that, you know, I mean, and that was one thing that I learned while I was here is, like, you know, and I learned all about different addictions and all about different kinds of people. You know, it's interesting, the people you go to rehab with. I mean, like, we had some interesting people. And, you know, but I mean, like, I learned from that. And, like, now I, like, feel, I have a daughter who's 18. I have a 15-year-old and I have a 13-year-old. And I feel like I'm, like, street smart because I can be like, oh, so, you know, what are you doing on Backpage? Or what? They're not really on Backpage. I'm just kidding. But I, you know, I can be like, you know, but I can, but I didn't know any of those things until I came here. So rehab opened up my world to all new experiences. But, it did. Anyway, so I got through that first year. And, you know, I felt like, you know, this is great. Like, I love being sober. Like, this is fantastic. You know, they call it the pink cloud, the pink bubble. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's great. It's everything I dreamed it would be. My husband and I, we get along. We communicate. I don't have to hide the mail. I don't, you know, I mean, he can check the bank balance whenever he wants. There's no secret checking accounts. It works out really well. But, so that was, like, all the first year, you know, and then I was, like, and so everything was a first, like, my first Christmas without alcohol, my first, you know, whatever, and it was all first, and I remember thinking, well, this is great, but, like, there's gonna be a second and third, you know, and, like, I was kind of, like, this is gonna suck, like, I mean, because I wanted, you know, I missed it, you know what I mean, like, that was always such an important part of who I was, but because of what the tools I learned here and the things I learned here and, like, through meetings and things as such, like, I was able to not, you know, I mean, like, I've been very, very blessed that relapse has not been part of my recovery. I'm also very, very blessed because I get to work with, at-risk youth and teens and, every day. So, like, I get to see kids who were kind of like I was, you know, but, like, I want their lives to be different. I want it to end differently. And that's, like, what I want for everybody in here. You know what I mean? Like, statistics say, like, somebody in here is gonna die. I mean, it's just what statistics, you know, it's what they say. But I don't believe those statistics. Like, I believe any one of you all could be, you know, could make it. I really, really do. Because, like, I know that I look like an old white woman square, but I mean, like when I tell you how bad, it was so bad. I mean, like, it was just so, so bad. It was horrible, all how my addiction and where my addiction took me and the things it made me do. And, you know, and since I've had a year, now 2 years of sobriety, it really and truly, it's like, it's just a feeling that can't be replaced. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, it's kind of like, it's like that first drink you took, but like, without the regret afterwards. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like that every single day. Every single day I wake up and I get to be sober, I'm like, this is pretty cool, you know? Like, I like it. I think it's all right. So, but yeah, I'm grateful for everything that I got from here, and that's all I got. Sorry, I didn't go an hour.